When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts, a podcast where you, our listeners, can become part of a conversation with us. We are three therapists who are going to talk about the good, the hard, and all the in-betweens of life. Come join us.
Welcome to Thoughts on Thoughts. This is Jessica and I have KJ here with me. And we are talking about how to manage work stress and how to deal with difficult coworkers. This is something that is rarely applicable because I'm sure you all have working spaces that are just completely conflict-free and you love everyone and there's just no problems whatsoever. But for the three or four of you that maybe have a difficult time with working with people who maybe are not your chosen best friends, you know, we're going to dive into some tips, strategies, ideas for how to deal with it and hopefully make your workday a bit more pleasant for you because it can be a long, hard day when you are not getting along with your coworkers because that is who you are spending that day with. Whether you like it or not. And sometimes you do not like it. That is a truth. So the question is, how do we manage stress at work? KJ, do you have any ideas for us?
Oh, do I?
She doesn't. Sorry, guys. Episode over. That's it.
Can I tell you where my mind immediately went?
No, but please do. I mean, yes, please do.
Okay, so I haven't worked in like an office setting in
recently.
Four years. And I immediately was like, oh, the secret candy stash in your drawer. Like that is one way.
That is the best way. You at least have that.
To create a little haven for yourself at work. Work stress, though, is kind of a big, like how to manage work stress feels like a big topic because there's lots of like intricacies to that, right? It's like, are you stressed about coworkers? Are you stressed about
your
job load? Are you stressed about your pay or stressed about your benefits? So it feels like an overwhelming question. That's probably how it feels because it's like, well, I'm probably stressed about all of those things. I think managing burnout and stress is like a huge thing. We're kind of always trying to escape it, right? I feel like it starts in high school. We get senioritis and we get burned out and then we get burned out in college and then we're in careers that we feel burned out
that you do forever. And it's just like, wow. And that's why I think I've heard a lot that our millennials and like Gen Z and stuff are changing jobs way more than parents ever did. And I think it's to try and run away from this burnout. And I think it's definitely a problem of you're going to burn out at any job after 2 years because maybe you're not boundarying and not having good relationships with your coworkers and blah, 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 blah. And so you're getting burnt out no matter where you go. It's not the job. It's the process, you know, it's going to happen wherever you go.
Yeah. So this is my thought on how we can structure this episode since I clearly feel overwhelmed by tackling the question of how to manage work stress
of it
in one thought. Why don't we start with how to deal with difficult coworkers And then we can kind of go like topic by topic and see if by the end we have like a comprehensive list of ways to manage work stress.
And we feel confident we will. We will have a lot to say. Don't you even worry.
Yeah. So we're workshopping this with you all real time.
Yeah. Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah.
So difficult coworkers. How do you deal with them? You change jobs. Oh, wait, that's what we're talking about. You don't have to do that. This is really hard.
This goes back to your, it's not your philosophy on self-care, but I feel like you are the one that brought this idea.
It's Brianna Wiest West. It's W-I-E-S-T. Brianna, do you want to tell us how to say your last name? It's her. I read her article. So self-care is not bubble baths and chocolate bars. It's creating a life you don't have to escape from. So it's doing the hard work. So self-care should be hard stuff to create a better life for yourself, right? So
And I bring that up because I think the same applies here. It like dealing with difficult people at the end of the day kind of boils down to doing difficult things to have a better, healthier end result. So how to deal with difficult coworkers, you know, you're probably going to have to do some difficult things within those relationships to improve them.
Yeah.
Mainly
say the hard things, that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have the tough conversation. So setting boundaries.
Yeah.
I think is probably my number one piece of advice. Because people don't read your mind. And I think that can be like a cognitive distortion that a lot of us have is like we read other people's minds and we like project our thoughts onto people. And so it can kind of create this illusion of like people do that to me and people just know what I'm thinking and they can see my body language and they can just interpret that and know, oh, she's super ticked off that I just did that. I shouldn't do that again. Yeah. People
don't.
Aren't just egocentric as teenagers. They're like that
most of
the time, right? We're always focused on ourselves and inwardly. So 9 times out of 10, people probably aren't going to see or pick up on what you're feeling and change their behavior to fix it. Even if they see that you are ticked off, they're probably not like, oh, that's because of me. So I'm going to do this to change it.
It is about me and it's so overwhelming. I'm going to do nothing to change it. So I feel like you get that in the workplace. Like either they're so paralyzed and like hate themselves because it's always about them, or it's like, I don't know, that's irrelevant. Why would I change? Yeah.
Yeah.
You very rarely get the, wow, I need to step up and do something. And I notice this and that just doesn't exist very often.
Yeah. So I'm going to create a formula here for us all. So the first thing is, I think recognize within yourself what is going wrong. What is it in you that is triggered? What boundary is being crossed for you? What's making you upset in this situation? Mm-hmm. And is it just like a one-off, or is it going to require, you know, doing some of this hard stuff we talked about? Plus, assume good intentions from people. I think always start off by assuming that people have good intentions, that they aren't out to get you. I think if you have that mindset at work, you're generally going to be happier. And then 3, after you've done those things, if there is a situation that continues, that is difficult, it's stressful, it's weighing you down, set some healthy boundaries. Have some hard conversations.
That's probably what you're thinking. Yay, I have to do that.
It doesn't sound fun.
It's not.
But I tried to make it an A plus B plus C equals a happier life, hopefully.
Oh my gosh, a happy work life. We love to hear it. We love to strive for it, you know? No, I think that's all so good. I think a big thing is that assuming the best of people, I think that is just going to be your game changer in the workplace. Is if something goes wrong, And if it goes wrong over and over and over again with someone, it's assuming like, oh, they're just doing their best. They don't know how to do it differently. They don't know how to do it better. I'm going to have to help them, walk them through it. I can't expect them to just know. And that's okay, because I'm assuming the best. I'm assuming that they are doing their best with what they have. I think we get really annoyed with coworkers, at least I have in the past, when we are assuming they could do better and they aren't. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, well, they could be achieving at this level, or they could be taking this workload off of me and they're not, or they could be whatever. But everyone has their own lives, and some people have different limited capabilities than ours and whatever. And there's just such a wide variety in the people that we work with versus like who you choose to be in your family, you know, like in terms of like who you marry or something. Like, there's just a huge difference between being thrown together with complete strangers that you wouldn't choose and maybe don't jive with. And it's hard to assume the best when you don't get along with someone. But that is, I think, the very, like, very key at the bottom is like, they're just doing their best. And I don't know everything about their life. Maybe I do know everything about their life and they still are terrible people. Occasionally that does happen. There are a few terrible people in the world, but generally people are trying their best. They just maybe don't know better. You can help them. You can set a boundary so that maybe if their energy is influencing you in terms of like they're draining your energy, you can set boundaries and keep yourself safe and all this. But I do think a lot of it is realizing people are doing their best and then letting go of a lot of stuff that is not necessary to address. If you're not going to address it, then I think for your happiness, you need to let go of it. If you cannot let go of it, that's when you know it's something that you need to address with a boundary.
Yeah. Yep. So let's give a formula for boundary setting. So this is something
get your
you
pencils
can
ready.
Commit to memory. So we'll talk about Sally and Dave. So Sally
guys.
And Dave have worked together for a while, and they're kind of on this team where they have to present things to the bigger team. Like, they roll out new stuff that's going on in their company together in theory.
Good for them.
But Sally gets really frustrated with Dave because they go into these like roundtable meetings and Dave just takes the whole hour and doesn't give her time to present her
material. I feel
frustrated
with Dave too.
Yep.
Honestly, you know.
But Dave is a nice guy, and often Sally kind of writes this off like, oh, like he can tell that I'm like annoyed and I'm not talking to him very much after the meeting. He's going to change it. But time and time again, he does not. So here's the formula. Sally's going to use an I feel statement. It's important to identify the emotion you're feeling so that the person can connect with someone or something, have like some empathy there. Mm-hmm.
And
then she's
so
going,
it's not them pushing it onto them. So you don't say you made me feel, you can say I feel this way. You know?
And then she's going to tell Dave what he did that made her feel that way. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to share like an expectation for the future, like the behavior that he could change and what she will also try to do. So here's
good.
The example.
You go, Sally.
I felt frustrated when you wouldn't let me share what I had prepared for the meeting. I expected you to give me time to share and you did not. In the future, please try to be more aware of the time you have and I will try to speak up as well. So that's like Sally's initial boundary. So say she sets that boundary. The thought is that the next meeting will go better. She could even remind Dave of this boundary, like, before going into the meeting.
Yeah.
So let's workshop if they go into the meeting and he doesn't do anything about this. What does Sally do at that point?
Then
so,
I think she quits.
No. She does
not. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I thought I was going to be right on the money there.
So knee-jerk of you. No, he doesn't. So she has several choices. I mean, and this is why companies are kind of set up the way they are, right? With like higher management. So
right.
Sally like, if it were me, I'd probably have another conversation. I'm kind of like a three strikes you're out type of person with boundaries.
Yes. And I think that is helpful, especially in a workplace when someone might be learning something new. It's helpful to give them some reminders before you expect something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and then there is a time when you're out. So what do you do?
From there, I mean, you could even say in like your last ditch effort at a boundary, like, if you continue to do this, I'm going to have to talk to so-and-so in HR or upper management or our boss or whatever the title is, and let them know that, like, okay, if you continue to break this boundary, this is my next move. And then follow through. Like, that's a huge one that you have to do is follow through on these boundaries.
That's how people know that you're serious about boundaries, is that you follow through. That is how they know that they need to listen, you know? Kindly, of course. Don't be a jerk about it.
Now, if this is like a more casual work environment where maybe there's like not a lot of things in place, I think that can be a little trickier to navigate. But I think same things apply for like setting boundaries and following through. There's kind of always a boundary that could be set. It might just take you like figuring out why you're triggered, what's the boundary that you need, and going for it.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of it is going to be realizing what maybe boundaries you need to set within yourself that will keep you safe from coworkers that you're dealing with that are kind of difficult, or work stress that's difficult, you know, figuring out like, okay, what are the lines I need to draw within myself to keep myself safe and happy at my workplace? You know, for instance, if you have a coworker who spends their whole lunch break complaining to you, and that's very draining for you, I'm sure that would be, it sounds draining to me right now as I think about this happening to you, pretend person. And it's like realizing, okay, I can talk to this person and say, okay, hey, I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't tell me about all of your childhood trauma, because it's really draining during my lunch break and I can't work, you know, whatever. But I think that in a lot of ways, you can also start to just protect your own space by maybe eating in a different place or eating at a different time, or saying, I can deal with this person and handle hearing this stuff a few days a week, but I can't do it every day a week, you know, or I come in and I have prearranged topics like, hey, we're going to be talking about the Barbie movie today, and I'm going to see how long the Barbie movie can last before we do this, you know. And then also having a lot of compassion and being like, they really have just a lot of negative things that are happening in their life, you know, that, or like they're always complaining about the boss, right? So every time you get together, it's just complaining about other coworkers and the boss. And you're just like, I am sick of hearing all these complaints, you know? And it's very fair for them to want to talk about all this, but it's okay for you to be like, hey, let's talk about something else. Or if you don't want to have that conversation, then you need to find a way to like limit your exposure to that person, things like that, right? And it's realizing, how can I set boundaries around me that will keep me safe? You know, whatever. But a big thing that I do think should be addressed, because I think it's I hear from the internet and from people I know who are in bigger workplaces. I personally am not in a big workplace, so I don't really know. But there's a lot of this kind of idea of like, I should be able to create a perfectly harmonious space around myself at work. I shouldn't be stressed at work. I shouldn't have this load. I shouldn't have to deal with difficult coworkers or a difficult manager. And I think there's also a level of realizing that we are adults, and adults in the world have to deal with a variety of people and situations which are difficult and which will push us to our limits. And that is why it is so important to have that actual real life self-care, even outside of work, where you can say, man, I really don't love my coworkers. They do not rejuvenate me. I do not feel better after a lunch with them. I'm not like coming home with my cup full because my coworkers are my best friends. I'm coming home and my cup is empty and I have to use my activities at home to fill my cup. Like, that's okay, but you have to recognize that and do something about it instead of just allowing it to burn you out over time, because there is probably a perfect workplace for everyone. I don't think hardly anyone is going to find it in this lifetime, if that makes sense. It just is kind of like you're chasing something that maybe doesn't exist. So there is a level of like, we do have to be adults and deal with difficult people. That is something that does happen. And so that's where you have to figure out, how do I protect myself and keep myself safe while also realizing some things I just have to deal with. Like, sometimes I will set a boundary with a coworker and they will walk all over that boundary over and over and over again. And my manager won't be on my side. So then the question is, what do I do in that case? And I think there's still a lot to be done to say, you know what, I can adapt and I can figure out workarounds and I can rejuvenate my energy elsewhere. But there are hard work situations where it's like, but KJ, I can't just do boundaries and it will be all better, you know? Yeah. But then also sometimes I'd be like, but have you actually set up any boundaries? And I think 90% of the time the people would be like, well, no, because they would be offended. It's like, okay, but that is the place to start, is actually trying, you know? So anyways, I'm kind of like going all over the place here, but.
No, it's good. Yeah. I think too, it's like figuring out, you know, when you do get to a level where it's just not healthy for you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can get really scared to leave a situation because you're leaving something you know for the unknown.
Which is scary. But
if you have pulled out the stops, you've talked to HR, you've set boundaries, and you have people in your circle at work that are just very unhealthy for you to be around or unsafe for you to be around emotionally, then I think it's, you know, one of those things where it's, do you need to have a really honest conversation with yourself and be like, do I need to look for work elsewhere? And
that's always an option. An option. And I think with that, you just want to hone in on like, what is like, because like I said, if you're going to change jobs, which is very much allowed, you want to be improving your situation. So you really want to look at, what is it about this job that's very difficult for me? And then how do I not encounter that same problem at the next job?
Yeah. So yeah, that is something to recognize as well. And I think a lot can be learned from watching The Office.
So much. Yeah. You know.
Because I will say, now that I am self-employed, my life does lack a little bit of flavor and spice.
Yeah, from the like work. Weird
spice
people.
Maybe a weird word to use. You know what I mean? Like a little bit of that, like people watching and
and you know, hearing about the crazy lives of your coworkers. Yeah. Where it's like, it's kind of draining, but also you're like, but how do you go home and live that life every day? I just don't understand, you know?
Yeah. I, to cope with like some difficult coworkers, I kind of would just, maybe this is like a weird mind trick, but it was like kind of making them a character in a show, like in The Office, and be like, what could so-and-so possibly do today? Genius. And then that way it was like trying to predict their behavior, that their annoying behavior they always did. But then when they did it, it was like, I knew it. I knew they were going to do that. And it was, became like a game instead of like an annoyance thing. But yeah, you see that in The Office, like you have this normal guy, Jim, who's just coping with all of these people
that are around him.
Just, you know, completely unhinged by like making a game of it, or just like choosing to be entertained rather than completely annoyed all the time, which is, you know, an interesting route. If I were him, I would have quit probably day one in that environment. But
yeah,
it is,
and that's where it's like a TV show. So, you know, he had to, but then also it's real. People do stay for so long in these situations that are like, you probably can move on from that, you know. But I think there is a lot to be said about that, just being like, these, my coworkers, like, it's so lovely when you have a coworker that is like a best friend. Like, it's so fun and so wonderful. That is just not always reality, though. And so it's realizing that sometimes your coworkers are just coworkers, and maybe you don't invite them to your daughter's christening because it's not a TV show, you know, like, it just, maybe it's just a coworker relationship, and that is fine, and realizing that it's okay. But I do think it is really nice if you can find like a work bestie, you know, someone that you can complain about everyone else to. That is really nice, you know. So it's nice to kind of find out an ally in the office. But that's true, like 100% true. I remember when The Office first came out, I remember specifically someone saying, you have to watch The Office. It's the exact same as working in an office. Like, it is so realistic. And I remember watching it and being like, this is what I have to look forward to. This is what working in an office is. But it's true. Like, it was based on real things of, that is what people are like. You just don't know what you're going to get. You just get a motley crew sometimes who have some similarity, because you're like in, you know, a similar profession or whatever. But like generally, it's just kind of a crapshoot who's thrown in there and what their lives were like before they started that job.
Yep. So you can, I mean, there's a lot of ways to cope, and hopefully some of these ideas helped. So like, to recap, recognizing in yourself what is being triggered, doing the hard work of like trying to, you know, have that perspective of people have good intentions, and doing the hard work of setting boundaries and maybe eventually going up the chain of command if things aren't working. Some of the like silly coping mechanisms of like, kind of looking at coworkers like TV characters, and what antics are they going to have today, and how do I make this entertaining for myself? Trying to create like a safe feeling space at your workstation, finding that work bestie if you can, and then kind of at the end there, if things feel pretty unhealthy for you, like allowing yourself to make a change.
That all sounds great.
Did we tackle the big question of work stress?
We tackled it. We could revisit it. So if you have more questions, just please let us know, because we are happy to delve into more myriad of cases and more specific things. Like if you have a Dwight or something, you know?
I mean, we both have personal examples we could draw from our work experiences.
I've worked in some weird places, so, you know.
Those I early worked in days. A state hospital.
Yeah, that's true. That's like a lot of, so many things.
Yeah, interesting.
I worked at an essential oil call center. There was lot. You can just imagine the people that I worked with, but then also the calls that I got. It was like a double whammy. Both the work was crazy, and the people I was working with were very interesting as well. So it was everything you could hope it would be. It was just a short stint over summer, but stayed with me.
Call centers, man. Yeah.
Ugh, call centers, yeah. I mean, that's a whole other thing, you know. And if you're not working at a call center, be grateful. And if you are, please be working for other work, because no one can do that forever.
Hard, truly.
It is hard work. It is hard. Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today. We want to create a community of inclusion where we can have conversations about topics that you need help with or have questions about. We want you to have a voice in this process, so please let us know what you want to hear about on future episodes. You can email us at thoughtspod@gmail.com, and if you search Thoughts Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All original music is composed by Milan Vrajic from Valley of the Bears, and our logos are by Rick Thomas. Thanks for joining us.